Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
At this time, I have to say, this divine health, which is divine healing, and divine health comes from God. I want to say to you, Happy Easter Day, and all of that. But I want to say to you, it's divine health, body, mind, soul, and spirit. I want you to get ready to what God got for you is really for you. And every door closed will be opened up. I'm praying for you over in Israel, those that were fighting. And I want to tell you, as we go into 2023, things happening that we got to look for God for divine help and for divine healing. And divine help come from God. A divine word come from God. I want to say to you tonight, those that feel like that you is that you lack hope. God is a healer, and God will give you what you want. Whatever going on, I'm praying for you and even you. Every letter, every telephone call. I want you to get ready and say, Bishop, I want to see to the ministry. I want to plant a seed because I got a need. And if you plant a seed with a need, God's going to answer. You're going to reach a harvest. And the harvest coming from God. I want to thank you, Sister Pauline, that called. Brother Ralph, God bless you tonight. Every letter, every telephone call is an expression of love. And when you send love, love come back. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that ever believe in him. Till not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to take this time at this 9 o'clock hour, this Saturday. Sunday is Easter. And they're going to be preaching heroes, I want to tell you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was looking at what happened, and I was seeing that Dr. King got killed, murdered, four. And it's been 55 years since his murder. They said they caught the man who did it. They caught one man, but they never did catch those that are involved, deeply involved. One of the things happened in Chicago, we got a black male. We did that. So things are happening for us. I'm praying for you tonight, divine help. And you can't have divine help without you checking in with God. One of the controversies going on now about these abortion pills, you can take a pill and stop your pregnancy. That same pill can make you bleed to death. There's so much evil going on, and they have forgot God. God's gave his only begotten Son. They have forgot God, and man is doing his own thing. It's a divine law. Go along with divine help. Your mind got to be healthy. So is your body got to be healthy. So we got a lot of sick spotted right now. They are not healthy. Let me say it again. Divine help comes from God. Divine healing comes from God. There's a lot of people, whatever going on in this season, you should ask God to deliver you and bring you to the level. I'm praying for the Ford family, Mary Ann, and I want to say, as I went in the spirit, Mary Ann said, thank you, Bishop Pewee, thank you, Bishop. And there's Mama Annie, who's standing there saying, Bishop, don't stop. Continue to tell people the way you're seeing this death that gives the God eternal life. I want you to look tonight for God to give you divine help. And the way you get that by constantly meditation, constantly praying, trusting. I got a book of the truth to your faith. A book of the truth said God will heal you. And a book of the truth said your help is divine from God. Now, you might not lack because you kind of fat, you chubby, or you skinny, or you short, or you tall. God did not make a mistake with your health. God waiting on you to step up and do something in this season. That's what God wants you to do.
This is Bishop Turner, and I want to come to you. We're talking about the Bible throughout the world, what's going on. And I want to say to you that we feel that we must come together as people to make things happen. Don't forget, I'm concerned about your children, your family. I'm concerned about you being blessed. I'm concerned about those open up for you. Yes, I want you to know that we can change what's going on in Chicago, Detroit, California, what's going on over the world. This is Bishop Turner. I want you to know that. And I just want to come to you and let you know that I'm concerned about your family problem. What's going on in your life. I'm concerned about you. If you'll call me and I call you, we begin to communicate with tools. Wherever you might be, with God, all things are possible. Don't forget, give me a call. Don't forget, I will pray with you and for you. And whatever you need, God can grant you your need. And I want you to know, we must begin to network and work together to make things happen for your home, my home, your village, your business. I want to let you know your business about to flow. I'll tell you that the things that are going on can work out for you right now. I'm glad to come to you. I want to say this to you today, or wherever I live, all is well. And I want to say it again, all is well for you. The new job and the things that you're trying to do, I'm trying to let you know that God got your back. This is Bishop Turner. I want you to know that whatever you're going through, if you're trying to retire or you're trying to get a new job or just trying to work on your health, I want to be with you every step of the way. Your miracle is on its way. Your blessing is on its way. I want to take this time to say your blessing is a moment away. I want to take this time to say that you can get what you want. You can have what you want. I want to say that to you, and I want you to know, evening, night, day, east, west, north, and south, I'm going to pray for you. It don't get too dark. It don't get too rainy. It don't too much snow. Winter, I'm going to pray that your blessing come through. Let me say it again. I'm going to pray that your blessing come through right now. I want you to go knowing, sowing, and flowing in the right direction. Direction that you can be successful. In the $1 trillion flow, you can be a part of the $1 million club right here on Block Talk Radio, where I'm on 5 days a week, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. I'm on the app. You can get me Mondays at 10 to 11. We're talking about Martin Luther King movement. Tuesdays, crossing over with our ancestors. We're talking about things that have lost, you have found, and subjects that will be coming up. And then on Wednesday, we go deep in the Bible. We talk about Bible class. We talk about the 66 books of the Bible, and we want you to go knowing and sowing with them. And on Thursday, we talk about metaphysics of the Bible, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And Friday, or payday, $1 trillion flow, more money. We talk about the issues of the world, the money issues, the mental issues, what's going on all over the world. We talked about that. I want to thank Brother Calvin, my engineer. I want to thank all the ministers that have been working with us, going to Blackwell. Don't forget, it's very important, Sunday morning from 11 to 12, I'm preaching the word of God. I'm prophesying the word of God. I'm talking about right now your blessing, your miracle, your healing. And every Sunday morning from 11 to 12, you ought to be there in the internet with me. Get a cup of coffee, get some tea, and sit back. Tell your husband, tell your wife, and we're going to listen to Bishop Sunday morning from 11 to 12. And I want you to know all is well. This is your bishop. I'm your computer bishop. You can download me. You can get me 24/7. And then you can see me on live screen. I'm screaming. And then after that, you can go to YouTube. We're talking about crossing over the ancestors. We're talking about things, losing planes. And we're talking about some of the storms, the floods, the snow. We're talking about all of that on YouTube. Now, I just want you to call a friend, call a neighbor, to listen to Bishop. Call somebody to Bishop. And I might have a word for you this morning. This evening, God might give me, sometimes God calls your name. When God calls your name, I tell you what's going on. So he calls your name. When he calls your name, he give me your address. Sometimes he give me the city that you're in. Sometimes he give me what's going to happen to you. I do divine prophecy, and divine comes from God. Now, and as I give messages right now, even in this promo, I'm seeing somebody being healed in their side, and I want to speak to that healing in your side. I want to speak to somebody been having a regular heartbeat. I claim the healing right now. I ain't talking about now. And somebody been having burning in their eye. You're healing right now. Somebody been having burning up in their stomach. Feels like their stomach is boiling. I speak healing to that stomach right now. I speak healing to that hearing situation right now. I speak peace in that family where they've been arguing and fussing. I speak peace right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak it. It is done. Don't forget, Sunday morning, Saturday night. Sunday morning, come and be blessed from 11 to 12. God, if you meet me and I meet you, God got a word for you. And this word is, whatever he got for you, I'm going to tell you. God bless you. I want you to go know and so on. And
I just want to say tonight, divine help for you wherever you might be at this hour. Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, California, all the United States. I had prophesied storms and flood. I see another train running off the track. I envision a plane falling. I envision wars and rumors of wars. But don't let that stop you, young man, young lady. I want to thank you for every love, every telephone call. Those that need the prayer of faith, go to RustyTheAbraham.com, hit PayPal, and plant your seed. Thank you, Sister Deborah Pickett. Thank you, Mary Hawkins. Thank you, Pearl Williams. And thank you right now to plant the seed. And Deborah, I'm praying for you. Lisa, thank you for your seed. Joe, thank you for your seed. And I'm speaking to somebody that need a breakthrough. You need a financial breakthrough. You need, said Bishop, I need to know what I need to know. I'm asking you to see in this harvest month, in this Passover month, you know, and you see God going to bless you in a special way.
Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. You gotta tell it for yourself. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Come on, help me say. You gotta tell them for yourself.
Don't do it without me.
Come on, say it like you mean it.
healing tonight. This is divine help. And divine help means directed from God. God made a perfect man, a perfect woman. I'm praying for your healing tonight. Don't forget, I'm sad that we have divine help and divine healing from God. And the things that you need to know, that God's able to lift to that next level. Every letter, every telephone call, I'm praying for those that have called, those that ask for divine help and divine deliverance. And I'm going to tell you, Francis, things are going to be all right. I want to tell you, God will heal your body. We're going into the Holy Week at the Passover. Sunday is resurrection. And I will talk about what happened a little later on and get to this level. I'm praying for those in Nashville, Tennessee. The kids said they don't want no guns in their school. And grown folks need to listen to young folks. Kids marching. And we're still full of racism and white pride and black pride. But I'm saying God is able. I'm praying for you. Thank you, Mother Bailey, and Mother Cook. And I want to tell you, God is able to do anything but fail. And I want to tell you tonight, if God got your number, those that have lost loved ones, there's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot fulfill. All is well. In all thy way, acknowledge God, he will direct your path. And I want you to understand that God will do it. Mother Peyton going to read a powerful scripture for you tonight. Going into this Easter, I'm praying for peace around the world. Peace in the Middle East. Peace in the West. Peace right here at home. Peace in your home. Peace with your family. Divine help that we ask in God. But we're going to pray for divine help. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. It's Mother Peyton all the way from Dallas, Texas.
Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
From this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
To the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
The Lord is high above all nations. And his glory above the heavens. Who is likened unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He praises, he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill,
mm-hmm.
that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people.
Mm-hmm.
He maketh the barren woman to keep house.
Yes.
And to be joyful mother of children.
Mm-hmm.
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. This morning I want to say this.
Yes.
He said that he will bring you out of the dunghill.
Yes.
Out of your mess and set you in a place.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that right now that God is uplifting us in the spite of
yes.
the storms and the flood.
Yes.
God is getting ready to carry us to another level.
Yes.
Whatever you're going through, go through it this morning.
Yes.
Because God is a healer.
Yes.
And a deliverer.
Thank you, Lord.
And David said that he lifted me up because he over everything.
Yes.
He looked down and pick you up where you can't get up.
Yes, Lord.
The doctor say you can't get well, but God said different. He said, I control the universe.
Yes.
And if God controls the universe today, I want you to know that he will lift you up and carry you to a safe place. place.
Yes.
He will carry you to a place of rest.
Yes, Lord.
Where you won't have to deal with the day-to-day operation.
Thank you, Lord.
You won't have to deal with up and down because he said that I am God of Abraham and the God of Jacob.
Yes.
And I want you to know whatever you might be going through.
Yes,
get ready for a miracle breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready for right now where you set your present state going to change in 2014, 2015, 2016. Get ready for a breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready to name your healing.
Yeah.
Get ready to name your deliverer, Jesus.
Thank you,
get ready to set all is well.
Yeah.
I need somebody to say to me, Bishop, all is well. As I go through things, I can see things are working for you because you know that God said high and look low.
Yeah.
And he's bringing you up out the dunghill of dust and mess. He bring you out of all this confusion, witchcraft, sickness, and all the things that's going on around the world.
Yeah.
So God is about to lift you up this morning. It reminds me of the prodigal son. As he went out and rotted living and spent all his money,
yes,
he come to himself,
yes,
found himself in a hog pen,
yes,
and looked around and said, wait a minute, I come to myself.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I know I don't supposed to be in this condition. I want to tell you, you don't supposed to be in the condition you're in.
Yes.
When you come to yourself,
thank
you're going to raise up and say, enough is enough.
Yes.
Oh, y'all ain't going to pray with me.
Thank
but
you.
As we go on today, he looked around and said, I'm in the hog pen with the hogs.
Yes.
Let me paraphrase a little bit for you. You are there hungry.
Thank
you're there ain't got no job.
Thank
you're there where all kind of rotten living is going on and you're accepting it.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to come to your senses this evening. I want you to come to your senses this morning.
Yes.
I want you to come to your senses. I need to get up and get out and go to the Creator.
Yes.
Who made me.
Thank you.
I'm talking about Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And when this young man came to himself, he dusted himself off and pulled what little rags he had up. So I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Thank you, Lord.
To my father.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going back.
Yeah.
To where Jesus. I'm going back to where food.
Yes.
I'm going back where I can be healed. I'm going back where I can come off of dope, alcohol, and drugs. I'm going back where I got a peace of mind. Somebody, young man, you need to come back.
Yes.
Young
yes.
woman, you need to come back.
Yes.
Somebody need to come
yes.
back to Jesus.
Oh,
you've
yes.
been in the whole pen
yes.
too long. You've been down too long. You've been suffering too long. You ought to come on back. As I'm coming back to Jesus, I can imagine in my eye, the young man got ready, and he began to walk down that long corridor, and look at, you know, way laid down south, they got big homes, and you can see for miles when you get on the property. When the young man got on his father's property, he felt a little bit better, because he was aching, he was with pain, and cancer set in, sickness and set in because he was too long in the hog pen. He was too long suffering. But when you make your mind up that you're going to reduce cancer, TB, tuberculosis, cataract and tumor, this man comes, this young man said, I'm coming to myself. As he began to walk, if you ain't going to pray with me, but if you walk down with me, as he began to walk on the property, when he get ready to walk on the estate,
yeah.
he began to feel a little better.
Yeah.
Look like he holds his head up and said, look,
yeah.
I'm on my father's property.
Well,
I'm on the land that I own.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all ain't going to pray with me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, it's just good we're going to have Brother Faden to pray for you.
Yes, Lord.
As he prayed this morning.
Well, Father, we
come once again, oh God, looking and have mercy upon us.
Yes, yes.
Oh God, before I go any further in this prayer.
Yes.
Oh God, I may have spoke wrong, may have talked wrong, may have sinned and come short.
Yes.
But I ask you to forgive me and love my soul freely.
Yes.
Yes.
Lord, let this prayer be the one that reach you. Let it be the one that you listen to.
Yes.
Because God, this world is in a bad shape.
Yes.
The people is on God's contrary, don't want to do right. Don't want to treat each other right.
Yes.
Or have mercy this evening. God, we can see somebody hungry. We won't even stop and give them no bread. And that ain't the way that you set this world to be. You said, love ye one another.
Yes.
That's like I have loved you. We done come short this morning. But I know you're able. And I believe that you will.
Yes.
See bottles down here. We are strangers. A long way from home.
Yes.
Friends are few. But enemies all around. But oh God, this morning, I know you're able.
Yes.
And I believe that you will. See us through this evening.
Yes.
Oh God, have mercy this evening. Be served, Jesus. We need you one for one.
Need you.
Lord Jesus,
yes.
Somebody daughter's in on the comb. Somebody son is on the
comb. Hallelujah.
Oh Lord, you see it. I know you're able. Good God Almighty.
Yeah.
Now Jesus, my rock. My where is land. My bread. In a starving land.
Yeah.
My water. In dry places.
Yeah.
I love to call you. Your name do something for me. Satisfy my soul. But now, Lord.
Now, Lord.
I got to come off this battlefield. Can't
say
the world no more. You'll see me somewhere in the kingdom. But I can give you 90 bread. I'm sorry.
God bless you.
Thank you.
For the last few days, several people have been calling me and writing me and telling me of how lonesome they are in this big city. And I don't want you to take that lightly, because that is quite possible. There are people who can come to cities like Detroit and like Chicago and New York and other large urban cities, having left their home grounds and their friends somewhere else and their familiar surroundings, and possibly who were active in their churches where they previously lived, and come to a strange city and feel lost. That is one way to be lonesome. Then there are others who have come to the big city and who have been caught up by its rapid pace, its fast movements, its gaiety, its revelry, its nightlife, its good times, and who have pursued the fantasy of pleasure in this manner, and have grown tired, have lived to learn that this does not satisfy. As I said to you in the sermon on last Sunday night, in quoting words from Jesus, that man cannot live by bread alone. Also, man cannot live by pleasure alone. Did you hear what I said? I said man cannot find ultimate satisfaction in pleasure. Did you believe it? Try. You'll grow tired of the grind and the rapid pace, and the crowd, and the parties, and the reciprocation that must go on. They entertain you, and you in turn entertain them. And then eventually you add up the cost that is involved. And you learn that you're going out the world backwards. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. Do you all know what I'm talking about? I am trying to say to you that man was made for God. Man was made for God. Man was not made for himself. Man was not made for pleasure. I mean alone. Man was not made for material things alone. Man was made for God. The reason why there are so many lonesome, frustrated souls in this big city, in other big cities, the reason why so many people feel maladjusted and feel useless is because there is no purpose in your life. When you are living, and remember, I'm not saying that man should not have pleasure in his life. Man should have pleasure in his life. I am not saying that man should not have the material things that he can acquire honestly and justly. I'm not saying that he should not have them. He should have them if he can. But what I am saying, no life is complete simply with the acquisition of pleasure or of material goods. For man was made for a nobler and a higher purpose. And if tonight you are listening to my voice and have been thinking that your life is useless, drab and unexciting and uneventful. If you're listening to me tonight and feel that you are on a merry-go-round that is just doing the same thing over and over again, day in and day out, remember that your life will remain thus until you tie it and involve it with something that is constructive. Something that is lasting. To go through life with God out of it. To go through life with half purpose out of it. To go through life when your life is not dedicated or given over to anything worthwhile, then you are likely to become frustrated. And some people have even cracked up and lost their mind. And some have committed suicide. Not because always what appears to be the reason. For usually lives that go on the rocks like that are lives that had no purpose to begin with too much. Yeah, people say people killing themselves over one another. Killing themselves because they lost money. Killing themselves for this reason or that reason. Or cracking up for this reason or that reason. Nobody after is healthy and sane that make God the center of his life is going to crack up. Is going to crack up. If you don't believe what I'm talking about, ask that old widow woman. whose husband died and left her, and who had scarcely enough money to bury him, with no savings, and with three or four little children to bring up, and a meager job, or a job that afforded her only meager means. And she will tell you, because God was the center of her life, and because she put her faith in God, and because she plugged in on God and therefore on eternal life, even though it was dark, even though it was hard, even though sometimes she didn't know how her ends were going to be met, sometimes she didn't know where her rent was going to come from, but because she held on to God's unchanging hand, she didn't crack up. The amazing thing about it, some of the women and even some men in predicaments like that have ultimately turned out to be successful enough to educate their children and bring them up as respectable citizens. That's a credit to their community and to their people. I wonder, do you know what I'm talking about? In the book of James, that is a question. A startling question. A challenging question. It is, what is your life? What is your life? Isn't that a challenging question? We know that there are over 2 billion people in the world today, according to the statistics. But what is your life? Are you just a number among 2 billion people? Are you just another person that makes up the population? What is your life? What does your life consist of? What are you doing with your life? For your time is not your own. As you hear people boastfully say sometimes, my life is my own and my time is my own and I can do with it what I want to do. But your time is not your own. Neither is your life your own. You are merely the manager of your life. That life doesn't belong to you. That time doesn't belong to you. That time belongs to God. That life belongs to God. The life that you have is merely an investment that God has made in you, and for which He is holding you responsible. The story of the talents is a story of that. One man was given 5 talents, and another was given 2 talents, and one was given 1. The one that had been given 1 acted very much like most of us act. He acted like it was his, and he could do with it what he wanted to do. And hence he, instead of putting his master's investment to an exchange, instead of doing with it what he was supposed to have done with it, to invest it and to bring back dividends for God, he buried it in the ground, so to speak, of indifference. And he did not anticipate his tragedy, however, because the Lord of those talents came back at an unsuspected time. The danger of it all is that you are given the control and the management of this investment that God has made in you. And that you are left on your own. God doesn't stand around and punch you. That is, literally, he doesn't to see what you're doing and how you're going to do. He merely lets you know that you are responsible for my investment.
Yes, yeah.
And that I'm holding you accountable.
Yes.
And that one day I will be back.
Yes.
And you must report to me.
Yes.
For everything that you've done.
Yes.
And how you have invested what I have given you. And I said the danger of it is you own your own. You own your own. But you know, sometimes some people cannot stand to be on their own. Some people cannot stand responsibility. Some people cannot make good managers, it appears. Some folk are waiting for the first opportunity. As soon as the boss takes his eye off them, they are searching. Hiding. Marking time. But that is dangerous. Because the boss of your life, the giver of your life, the investor that has invested in you, nor what you should do, and know what he has made you capable of doing.
Yes.
Pray with me if you please.
Yes.
You're talking about a time clock. He has put one within all of us.
Yes.
He knows when you punch in and when you punch out.
Yes.
He knows whether you are late or on time.
Yes.
Pray with me, there's no escape. And if you are lying down on the job, if you haven't punched in for the last year or so, if you haven't reported for duty for the last month or so, he know it tonight. You can't escape. He's made an investment in you. And it's not left up to you to do what you want to do with it. You've got to one day account for the deeds done in your body. Why, I often say that when I look down on the casket and see those two little startling words, at rest, doesn't always mean that the person that's in there is at rest. It sometimes means the home that he came out of is at rest. Now that he's gone, or now that she's gone. Sometimes it means that husband is at rest. Sometimes it means that wife is at rest. Now that they have laid you out. Are you praying with me? Sometimes it means that the church where he was a member is now at rest. Because they kept up so much confusion. Sometimes it means the neighbors or the people with whom they work are now at rest. Now that you're gone. So brothers and sisters, we should all remember that there is one who has an all-seeing eye and who knows what investment he's made in us. He knows whether or not he left with us one talent or whether or not he left with us two. He knows whether or not he's left with us five. You see what I'm talking about? And he know exactly what our report should be. That is, if it is a faithful report. Yeah, and I think that all of us, and especially those of you who have wandered away, and who simply think because you're getting by that you've gotten away. Well, remember, you may be getting by, but that doesn't mean you have got away. Pray with me if you please. I've seen people who committed crime and have gotten by for several years. And one day when they feel safe, satisfied, and secure, why, the FBI walk up and tap them on the shoulder and tell them exactly who they are and what they've done and where they did it. There was a man who's gotten by but who didn't get away. And you talking about an FBI system. Why, my God has the best the world has ever known. He had all kind of agents working for him. Sickness worked for him, and it's sometime one of his detectives. Oh, Lord. And sometime misfortune worked for him. And sometime trouble will arrest us for him. And I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. Why, sometime, why, expenses about our family life works on God's side. You may feel because you're getting by, you've gotten away. If you're wasting your life and wasting your time, if you've forsaken God and like a prodigal went away from home into the far country of pleasure and into the far country of revelry. Remember, great God, if you don't mind out like Jonah, great God, you know Jonah thought he'd gotten by too, you know, and thought he'd gotten away too. Oh, Lord, but the Lord called his detective to win. And then call another one of his officers, the clouds, and spoke to another one of his agents, the sea, and made that old sea boil like a potter, and made the wind roll themselves into a hurricane. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Oh, Lord, my God, great God, whispered to a whale and told him to be a submarine for him and keep up with that ship until he got Jonah convinced. Holy God Almighty. Oh, Lord. And eventually Jonah had to come on up. Why? He bought his ticket and then went down below deck. Pray with me if you please. And hid from the crowd and from the passengers and lay down and went to sleep. And trouble arose on the old vessel. Nobody knew what was going on or who was responsible. Nobody knew that Jonah was on board. You know, sometimes the vessels of our lives are rocking because there is a Jonah on board. You may not know why he is or who he is, but all of the shaking and all of the trouble that you are having is because there's a Jonah on board somewhere. Oh, Lord. But the Lord made the wind, the lightning and the thunder. The sea worked for him to bring Jonah out. Oh, Lord. He may be working on you, and you may think you are hid in the hull of life. And the reason why the storms of life are raging around you, God is trying to bring you out of where you belong and where you promised to be. I don't think you know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord, you ought to do like Jonah. Great God. You know, Jonah cost the ship so much trouble. Yes, he did. They had to throw off supplies into the sea. They had to drown medicine and food that was intended for innocent people in the far country. Oh, Lord. But on the account of Jonah, they had to waste it all. Well, you may be causing other people to suffer because you are Jonah. Oh, come on up. Yeah. And do like Jonah did. Come on up on board. Yeah. And tell the world, I know I'm wrong. Yeah. I know I've been running away. Yeah. I know I've been hiding. Oh, Lord. I know why I'm going through all that I am going
going through. The Lord is my God. I don't even know what I mean tonight. Oh Lord, if I were you tonight, wherever you are, if I'd been a Jonah, if I'd been like one of the talented men who've been laying down on a job, oh, I mean right now, even right where you are, right in your home, I'd make up in my mind, oh, right now, you hear what I said? Get up in my mind. Yeah. Like a wandering prodigal, I'd get up out the hog pen. Like a running hiding Jonah, I'd come out of the hole. Yes, I would. And I'd tell the Lord, 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 Lord. In your own way. I tell him that. And I tell him now.
Don't let the devil ride. If he ride, he wants to drive. God bless you tonight. This is divine health, and God's word is health. God's word is healing, and divine word of God said, don't let the devil ride. If you let him ride, he won't drive, he'll take you too far. I'm going to tell you tonight, resurrection bring about a crucifixion. Jesus was crucified, but resurrection, crucifixion bring about a resurrection.
Don't let them sleep in your bed.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Singing it. We shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the
killed in Monroe, Louisiana. Got a call from them, a young lady, Natchez, Mississippi. There's no song left for heaven could not hear. Don't forget, we on tomorrow, sunrise service. Crucifixion bring about a resurrection. Once time you crucified, you got to be resurrected. Jesus was resurrected. And I just want you to know that. Get ready for a breakthrough in your life. Get ready for a door to open up in your life and get ready to go to the next level. This is Harlem.
take
if you should take
a train.
Hurry
up. You get to where you're going in a hurry.
Hurry up.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Now it's
coming.
Can't you hear the rail pull hum?
Hurry
up, if you should miss
the
train.
Rihanna.
You
Rihanna.
This is the quickest way to get to Harlem.
Rihanna, da, 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 da.
Crucifixion bring by the resurrection right here on Block Talk Radio. Call me, get in contact. That's a blessing. But let me give you this number where you might need to call. We on 7 days a week. We on Sunday morning, 11 to 12. Give me a call at 708-582-0372. That's 708-582-0372. I want to be able to lift you up. Give somebody this number, 515-605-9890, Blog Talk Radio.
Speak unto death, that I will give you a crown of life. He did not say, you understand, be thou faithful until death. And I don't know the reason why, but for some reason we falsely use that verse, and for some reason we somehow misquote that valuable verse in our Bible. My God, because it does not say, be thou faithful until death. My God, but rather it says, be thou faithful unto death. And that is a difference in the word until and the word unto. Oh, Lord. And that word until means to the point. But the word unto means beyond the point. Oh, Lord. And until means it's limited. But unto me is beyond all bounds and beyond all limits. Oh, Lord. And if I think about this church and how about the Franklin bought this church from a mighty long way. Oh, Lord. Yeah, and evidence shows that there were too many until members instead of unto members. Oh, Lord. And Reverend Franklin, I'm with you until I disagree with you. Oh, Lord. And Dr. Franklin, I'm with you until you hurt my feelings. Oh, Lord. And I'm with you until you don't call my name. And that's why I'm glad the writer did not say, be faithful until. For then faithful unto death. Oh, Lord, and the road may be rough, the going may be tough, but I hear saying, don't be faithful until bad things happen, but be faithful unto death. Yes, that means don't be faithful until death comes. But then, though it may cause my death, well, I must be faithful. Oh, yes. So I hear him saying, be thou faithful unto death. And I will give thee then a crown of life. Oh, yes. And I'm gonna close there. And I tell you just one more thing. Well, it is said that
the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. But along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen, and her God was not dead. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, when he told him about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one wheel, ever moving, and above that was another wheel, that was the Babylonian wheel, it was moving, and that above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel, and God's universal plan, and all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped him. Maybe you think think you have blocked him. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plan never stands still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. For the writer here tells us that angels were in God. Spare me if you please. So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel. A valley of depravity. A valley of disfranchisement. A valley of hopelessness. A valley of dry bones. A valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city may be one thing to one people, or a country may mean one thing to one people, and altogether another thing to another people. When the white Europeans came to this country, embarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise, was a mountaintop of possibility, was a mountaintop of adventure. But to the Negro, when he embarked upon these shores, America to him was a valley. A valley of slavehood. A valley of slavery and oppression. A valley of sorrow. So that often we have to say, will it be a day? I'm going to eat at the feast and pray. One of these days, the chariot of God will swing low. I wish I had somebody here praying with me. So that Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. A valley of dry bones. Well, the prophet tells us. And considering a prophet, what is a prophet anyway? Since the prophet was God's representative, God's ambassador, God's watchman there in Babylon. You know, and the word prophet can be interchanged with the word preacher. For a prophet is a preacher. And a preacher ought to be a prophet. Not a prophet such as we are told and talk about sometimes. Not a funny person. Not somebody with their head tied up or selling luck or anything like that. Not that kind of prophet. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called of God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent from God. A prophet inspired of God. For a prophet is one who knows the past, who understands the present, and out of his knowledge of the past and his insight of the present, he's able to predict the future. A prophet is one who has sight, insight, and foresight. With sight, he looks on things. With insight, he looks into things. With foresight, he looks beyond things. Such a man was Ezekiel. And he uses the symbol of a valley to describe Israel's Babylonian situation. The symbol of a valley. But you see, a valley confess a low place between mountains. And to Israel, thou art obstructing mountain, surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountain. Social and political mountain. Religious mountain. Encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down there in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. Surata, he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the spirit told me to do certain things. Or I was led by the spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet was a spiritual mind. A spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, while being in the spirit, the Lord led him out to the valley. And then led him to the midst of the valley. And sat him down in the midst of it. But he was really saying that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem. And in the situation in Babylon. That's what he was saying. God took him in a thought-doing survey. In a thought-doing analysis and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there. Then for fear that way out on the periphery of things, he'd miss something. Then the Lord led him round and about the valley. Or took him and encompassed the valley. Circled it on all sides. That he might not miss the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was far and complete, the Lord called the question to him. Son of man, son of man, I wish you could hear me. Can these bones live? That son of man seemed to be reminiscent of man's limitation. Women listen to man's finiteness, man's humanity. Son of man, son of man, you are a scholar, you are an educator, son of man, you are a scientist. Can these bones, son of man, you are an engineer, can these bones live? Son of man, you are a heart specialist. Son of man, you are a geologist. You are a botanist. You are a specialist in various stages of the human body. You are a psychologist and psychiatrist. You know all about drives and reactions and responses and tendencies. Lord, with all of this knowledge, can you tell me, can these bones live? Can these bones live? pathways in the air. You have circumvented the earth. Some man, you have found highways upon the sea. And you've made your own highway under the sea. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Bit of life. Oh, we know a lot of things. We know what the human problems are. We know men are mean. We know men are prejudiced. We know that men are narrow-minded. And we know they are selfish. We know men are unkind, ruthless, and cruel. We know men are murderers and sinful. But what we don't know is what to do about it. But we know what the problem is. We've made an analysis of it. We've already diagnosed the case. But what we can't do is write a prescription.
I wish I had somebody whispering to me.
So that the prophet had to say, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, thou knowest. When it comes to the answer of many of life's perplexing problems, when it comes to a solution to these problems, Lord, thou knowest. I submit myself before you, limited, finite, ignorant and helpless, like dry bones in a valley. And thou knowest. Thou hast the answer. And you know that one thing about God. When we go to him sincerely, when we've been overwhelmed by some problem that we aren't able to grapple with, put it at his feet. Ultimately, if we have faith, he'll give us the answer. He'll work it out for us. And Ezekiel declared that he didn't know. And it was in the hands of God to give the answer. Why, the Lord, after Ezekiel had surveyed and had gotten a full understanding of what the Babylonian problem was, he said to him, you go out if you want the answer and preach to those dry bones. The Lord, it looks like a helpless thing. It looks like an unprofitable thing for me to go out and preach to dry bones. Some of the living soul that I preach to don't respond to me. And what could I expect from dry bones? But the Lord has been to go on out and preach anyhow. You know, God's ways, you know, are above man's ways. And you can't always understand why he orders you to do certain things. But if the Lord orders you to go on anyhow, why, you may not see it, but there is a way. You may not know what you're doing, but God has it worked out. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord. And I saw that man go out in that valley. In that valley of dry bones. Of dry bones. Oh, Lord. And stood there. And preached to those dry bones. The Lord had given him a text to preach on. Well, Lord, what can I preach to dry bones about? Oh, Lord. Lord, what kind of subject can those dry bones to hear the word of the Lord? To hear the word of the Lord. Oh, Lord. I I'm sure. It must have been discouraging sometimes for him to stand there day and night and preach in that valley of dry bones, to preach in that valley of helplessness, and in that valley of lifelessness, in that valley of hopelessness. My Lord, to stand there and preach and not be able to see what the result would be. Oh, Lord, but he preached on anyhow. Oh, yes. And then one morning, the valley began to rumble. Yes, it did. One morning, the valley began to shake. And that was a mighty moving around. Oh, Lord. Then one morning, yeah, when he looked around to observe this rumbling, oh, God, he saw the rumbling in motion. Yes, foot bone was stretching out ankle bone. An ankle bone was moving on toward knee bone. Oh, yes. And knee bone was connecting with thigh bone. And thigh bone was moving on toward hip bone. And hip bone was moving to the backbone. Yes, they were. And backbone was joining the shoulder bone. And shoulder bone was tying the neck bone. And neck bone was tying the head bone. Oh, Lord. The prophet kept on preaching. Yes, he did. Kept on preaching. Oh, it's robbers. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said, wait a minute now. I want you to preach on a new theme. Yeah. I want you to just to wait a little while and let me extract matter from the universe. Yeah. And let me all of that matter to come together and form man's anatomy. Let flesh get on the bone. Let skin begin to cover those curtains. Oh, Lord. But Lord, all we have now are corpses here lying on the ground. Turn now and get to the wind. Tell the wind that God will believe in you. Lord, Lord. And blow breath into these bodies. My Lord. Hear my word. And that's my solution tonight. That's my answer tonight to every problem that we have. That is to hear God's word. Hear God's word. It's all right to go to the United Nations. It's all right to put on the international fellowship. It's all right to call on the scholars. To call on our businessmen. It's all right. But I tell you what you had better do. Hear God's word. Hear God's word. In word. In word. In word. In word. In the bridge in deep water. In word. In the lamp to your soul. In word. In word. Ah, in word. Hear God.
Come on, put them together like this. But if not, there was a day when many of the Israelites found themselves in bondage in Babylon. And there was a king of Babylon by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. You read about him a good deal in the book of Daniel, and it stands as an epic that will remain stenciled on the mental sheets of unfolding generations. Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty king. And when he ruled, he ruled. And when he issued an order, he meant business. And Nebuchadnezzar issued an order. He made a golden image, and his order was that everybody under the reign of his kingship had to bow before that golden image and worship it. Now, those of you who read the Bible remember that story. One day Nebuchadnezzar called in the judges and the governors and the sheriffs, and they had a dedicatory service for this golden image. And then he said to them, I'm instructing you to see that everybody bows before this golden image. But there were three young men around there.
Yes. Yes, sir.
One's name was Shadrach. The other one's name was Meshach. And the other name was Abednego. And they answered, and I read it from the scripture, and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace.